Our overall theme this year has been transformed by truth, but for the last few weeks, I've been bringing sermons around the theme of words. And this morning, we're going to look at the power of a timely word. A word in season, that's something we often talk about, isn't it? Almost Christianese. But the simple translation or definition of a word in season is when God speaks into our hearts or minds at just the right time. And the truth is, words hold immense power. Proverbs 15:23 says, "Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It's wonderful to say the right thing at the right time." But if we're honest, it's perhaps easy for us at times to say things that we think other people want to hear rather than say the right thing. We don't like to offend people, do we? Well, I don't. I mean, maybe some of you. Maybe that's your hobby. I don't know. But I was always brought up to be diplomatic, to be Switzerland, to be the neutral party in any argument. And I know it's frustrated my wife over the years when she perhaps may think that there's something wrong that's happening, and I look at it from the perspective of the other person, the other party. I try to understand why people do certain things, not to justify it, but just to actually understand. Because the more I understand, the greater opportunity I have to connect in the right way. What I want us to do this morning is explore the power of timely words and how, through God's wisdom, we can speak life and light into other people's lives. Halloween's coming up. There will be, as Trevor has already said, an immense focus on darkness over the coming days. But those of us who know Christ, those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we have been brought from darkness into God's marvellous light. And the light is what we're meant to focus on. The light is what we're meant to speak. We are called to be salt and light in a dark, sin-sick world. So perhaps the sermon this morning will encourage us to have the right words spoken at the right moment, and how we should always look for the potential to uplift, to encourage, so that God can transform. God can give us the words that we need at exactly the right time. But friends, we need to develop our wisdom and our discernment to know when to speak such words. So the first point, the power of words. Proverbs emphasizes the significance of our words. Proverbs 18:21 tells us the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Have you ever met someone who absolutely loves to talk? Apart from me. I mean, over the course of my life, I have met some people who seem to be permanently on transmit. They have an opinion about absolutely everything. Even if it's something that they don't know about, they will comment on it. One of my brother-in-laws, he's a scientist. He's studied quantum physics, and he actually works for British Aerospace or something like that. And the kind of stuff he knows, most of us will never, ever get anywhere near. And it's quite interesting because I've observed him in situations where people have tried to engage at a scientific level with him, and you can just see how lost they are when it comes to what he knows. That he's very personable, he's very nice, but to be honest, what he enjoys talking about, the rest of us would probably switch off and not want to listen to. But I've seen people try and hold their own in conversation with him. And sometimes they seem to be doing pretty well until they get to a point where any knowledge they have is exhausted. And sometimes we worry when other people ask us something about Jesus that our knowledge will be exhausted before we get to share or tell them anything about him. But when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, when God works in our heart and in our mind, he gives us the words to speak. We don't need to worry about whether or not we will have the words, because if it's a God-given opportunity, he will give us the words. We can speak of deadly things like Halloween, or we can speak the truth of life. We can tell people about Jesus, about his love, his mercy, his grace. We can share what Jesus means to us. Those of us who are believers, each of us have a testimony that we can share. And maybe when we talk, maybe when we share, God will use those words to bring transformation in someone else's life. The truth is, words can build up or they can tear down. They can heal or they can hurt. And the power of speech reflects the image of God in us. He who spoke creation into existence is reflected in us. That's an awesome responsibility we have, friends. We are God's ambassadors. We are God's representative. We are made in his image. Do what people see reflected from us, does that actually give glory to God? Words. The Hebrew word for word is dabar. It not only means spoken words, but it also indicates actions. In a biblical sense, words are never empty. They have effect and they have power. And we've all experienced moments when a timely word has lifted us up, motivated us. We may have been in despair. We may have been facing difficulty. And then it could be a word from scripture, a word from song, a word that someone speaks prophetically into our lives that just changes and transforms us. But we have to be willing to listen. So often we can be in conversation. I shared this last week. Yeah, men are fantastic at this. Our wives, our partners can speak to us and we can appear to be listening. We will even perhaps say yes or at what appears to be the right moments. But we're not really listening. We're actually off thinking about something else. Now, maybe men, you're not like that. Maybe you listen to every word that your wife says. Everything that your partner has said to you since you've got up this morning, you could list. Sorry, we're living in reality. We won't go there. Now, you remember the bit about bacon and bagels, yeah? Yeah, bagel. It's got nothing to do with the sermon, but bagels, it's a Jewish thing. Bacon, not Jewish.
You eat it anyway.
Yeah. Yes, there is. As someone who was a Jew, I know the beauty of bacon bagels. I mean, that may be a word of offence to some, if there's any vegans or perhaps vegetarians amongst us this morning. Perhaps even the mention of the word bacon, it's not good. Words can hurt, words can offend, words can cause problems, even when unintended. And sometimes there's those times in our life where we should be speaking a timely word into someone's life, into someone's situation, and something stops us. And it's not God that stops us, it's us that stop ourselves. If God gives us something that we need to share, if God gives us something that we need to say to another, yes, we should test it. Does this contradict the word of God? Is this what God would say? And then exercise discernment on whether we say it or not. Solomon, in Proverbs 15:23, he highlights the kind of power that's behind words. There is a satisfaction in speaking words that go beyond the speaker. Words should actually bless the hearer more than the speaker. James 3:5, it says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Whether for good or ill, our words can have a long-lasting impact. It was Rick Warren who once said, the deepest wounds of life often come from careless words. And how we use our tongue, how we say what we say, can make a big difference. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit's control of our tongue. Our speech needs to be a fountain of life, a fountain that is full of praise for Jesus. Does that describe your speech? Does that describe your words? I pray that it would describe every one of us. Second point, wisdom to speak life. To speak words of life, we do need wisdom. And the Bible makes it clear that true wisdom has only one source. It comes from God himself. James chapter 1 verse 5, it encourages us. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. On the list of things that you pray for, is wisdom on that list? I would assume for many of us, it's not even something we think about. And yet the Bible tells us, commands us to actually ask for wisdom. God's wisdom teaches us not just what to say, but when to say it. God's wisdom teaches us how to live. Ecclesiastes 3:7 reminds us there's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. Or as one paraphrase puts it, there's a time to shout and there's a time to shut up. That's the street Bible. But it's true. There is a time when we should speak and there is a time when we should shut up. There's so often I think we can open our mouths and we stick our foot in it, our mouth, rather than speak something that is wise. And that, I think, is true of all of us. None of us are perfect in our speech patterns. None of us are perfect in what we say. The danger is when we do think that we're perfect. The danger is when we think, well, I could not possibly be wrong about this. The Bible tells us elsewhere, pride comes before a fall. We need to watch our words, friends. We really do. If we speak without considering the impact of our words, if we fail to say the right thing because we are focused on something that we believe is right rather than God says is right, then our words will always be wrong. We need to rely on the guidance of God. We need to rely on what Scripture tells us. We need to rely on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need to pause and check that it is actually God that's speaking to us and not us speaking to ourselves, or indeed the evil one whispering something in our ears. One of the Hebrew words for wisdom is chokmah. It refers to a practical, applied wisdom. It's not about knowing a lot, but it's about acting well on what you do know. And friends, my hope is this morning that all of us know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the one who came and sacrificed himself that we could be forgiven of our sin. And that is actually something that should cause us to choose wisely, to act well. The word of God is meant to change us. What God has done has changed us. We've been brought from darkness to light. Our sins have been forgiven. We are set free and we are assured of a place in heaven when we repent and trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It's not about us. It's all about him. And maybe we would be wise if our words were more about him than about us. Consider Jesus' words in John 14:26. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into truth. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to apply truth in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us wisdom to say a fitting word at the right time. Third point, speaking with love and grace. While wisdom helps us to speak the right words, love ensures that we speak with the right heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. We will speak the truth in love. I've said many times before, I would rather speak the truth of God's word and offend someone than lie and preach a half gospel. The word of God is true. The word of God is clear. The word of God, the world will not accept it without a quickening of the spirit in the heart. But the word of God is truth, and we cannot deny the truth of God's word. Love may motivate us to seek the best for others. Grace may ensure that our words reflect the character of Christ. But in Colossians 4:6, the Apostle Paul instructs believers, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. The Greek word that's used here for gracious is charis. That can also be translated as filled with grace. When we speak with grace, our words reflect the kindness and the mercy of God. They reflect the kindness and mercy of God that we ourselves have already received. Jesus was the perfect example of grace and mercy, and we are meant to live like him, to be like him. And slowly through time, God is conforming us to the image of his son. It's called sanctification. It's an ongoing process. It will carry on until we're called into heaven. But be thankful that God is at work in our lives today. He is changing us. He is transforming us. Luke 4:22, we read this. Everyone spoke well of him, that's Jesus, and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. Jesus spoke truth, but he did it in love and compassion. His words healed hearts. His words brought hope. And even in the 21st century, that is still true, isn't it? God is still in the work of healing hearts. God is still bringing hope into people's lives, changing circumstances and situations for his honour and for his glory. And if God is still doing that in the 21st century, then we should also be speaking in ways that reflect the heart of Christ to the world. Rather than engaging in careless talk or gossip, we must allow the Holy Spirit to shape our speech, to ensure that every word we speak is life-giving, to ensure that at every opportunity we have, we point people to Christ. The Christian author Paul David Tripp, he wrote this, "Words give life, words bring death, you choose." And it's true, we have the choice. We could speak words that give life, or we could speak words that bring death. Words of life that this world needs to hear. That there is a solution to the brokenness of this world. There is a solution to sin. And his name is Jesus. And his is the name that we must proclaim. Fourth point, timely words bring transformation. Proverbs 12:25. Worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. So true, isn't it? I'm sure we can all agree with this statement. There may be words, sentences, paragraphs, verses within the Bible that we struggle with because we can't quite connect to it. But this is something that we can all connect to. If I ask you to put your hand up if you've never worried about anything. I thought so. We all worry. But we have a God who cares. And in many ways, when we worry, we're saying that, actually, I don't have the faith that God will care for me. We need to trust him in everything. Even in the darkest of circumstances, God is with us and he's promised he will never leave us or forsake us. And God doesn't lie. And he doesn't change his mind. Have you ever experienced a moment where someone's encouraging word changed your perspective, changed the way that you looked at something? That's the power of a fitting reply. That's the power of a fitting word. In John 8, there's a beautiful example. There's this timely words that are included in the story of a woman that's caught in adultery. And the Pharisees, they were ready to condemn this woman. But Jesus spoke words of grace and truth. He told the crowd, "Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of God's glory. All of us miss the mark. None of us are perfect yet. But when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his son. And his righteousness makes us perfect in God's sight. In fact, the Bible refers to us as God's masterpiece. And that's a wonderful truth, isn't it, friends? Jesus' words, they were not only wise, but they were filled with love and grace. And he brought hope to a broken heart. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." The old Puritans had ways of describing things, didn't they? Like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Does that describe your words? Does that describe my words? I know it describes God's word because God's word is beautiful and perfect. So what's the application? How do we speak life today? How can we apply these truths to our life? Well, first we have to recognize that the power of our words is real. And the words we speak does impact the lives of others, but also it impacts our own life too. We need to seek God's wisdom, friends. We need to ask for his guidance. We need to pray that he will help us to be wise as we speak. And may we always speak with truth. May we always speak with love. And may we always ensure that our words are seasoned with grace. Psalm 19, verse 14 can be our prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we surrender to the work of God in our lives, as we surrender to the word of God in our lives, he will use his words to bring life and hope into our life. And he will also use us to take his words to those who need life and need hope brought into their lives. The power of a timely word, it's extraordinary. It has the capacity to lift us from the depths of despair and lead us into the very presence of God. Friends, today, as followers of Christ, we're called to speak life. We're called to bring hope. We are called to share the love of God through our words. Let us be intentional this week in our speech, in our actions, to be guided by wisdom, to be filled with grace, and to show the love of God to all that we meet. Maybe this week you'll have people knocking on your door. Maybe on Thursday you've got a choice. You can be here at Alpha, or you can sit at home and wait for the trick-or-treaters to come and knock on your door. If a trick-or-treater knocks on your door, what words of light could you share with them about the Saviour of the world? They've come to your door, they've knocked on your door. Will you take the opportunity to share the truth of Jesus? Because that's a far better treat that they can receive than anything they might get dropped into their little sweet bucket or bag or whatever they bring to your door. Take the opportunity to share truth. Take the opportunity to be light. Take the opportunity to tell people about the living word, the light of this world. And may his words transform your life and the lives of everyone you meet. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth, Lord, and the fact that it's a living word that speaks to us day by day. Help us to be wise. Help us to speak words of truth in love. And may we always be willing to tell others the truth of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it transforms and changes lives. Thank you, Lord, that the words that you inspired the prophets and others to write down so many years ago are still relevant to our life today. Thank you that you are unchanging in your mercy and in your grace. And thank you that even today there will be those who come to you for the first time in repentance and receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Continue to work in us and through us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.